1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. As the auto workers union strike against the big three is set to roll into a 12th day tomorrow, President Biden says he will head to Detroit to hit the picket line with auto workers. WWJTV's Ray Strickland says the strike could start impacting repair shops like Wetmore's in Ferndale, Michigan, where he spoke to the service manager.
Like much of the country, Wetmore's is paying close attention to the negotiations between the union and the automakers. Dave says he hopes they can reach a deal sooner rather than later.
You know, hopefully they can come to an agreement here real soon so we don't have to worry about this issue.
And Dave says the shop is good on supplies for now, but he says if this strike goes on for a few months or up to a year, that could all change.
It's a deal between Hollywood writers and the unions to the studios, that is, but it's not a done deal. All of the details of the tentative contract have not been released, but sticking points included pay and artificial intelligence. Syracuse University TV and pop culture professor Robert Thompson.
Late night will probably be, along with daytime talk shows, the first thing back. There's talk now that they should be on the air by maybe the week of October 2nd, maybe the week of October 9th.
Some Lahaina residents are allowed to return to their properties, many for the first time since the Maui town was demolished by a wildfire over a month ago. Noreen Wales lost her home.
This is the first time I'm going to see it, so it's okay. It's pretty bad.
The wildfire killed nearly 100 people and destroyed over 2,000 buildings. A government shutdown deadline is Saturday if Congress can't pass spending bills to prevent it. President Biden blames the holdup on some Republicans who want spending cuts, which he says would affect the black community and women and children. More from CBS's Weijia Jiang.
He also put the blame squarely on the group of far-right Republicans who are holding out on funding the government because they want deep spending cuts. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has failed numerous times now to convince those lawmakers to compromise, a task that may be even tougher now that former President Donald Trump is urging conservatives to shut down the government if they don't get, quote, everything they want.
Days after being indicted on federal bribery and fraud charges, Democratic Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey says he will not resign.
All people are presumed innocent until proven guilty. All people. I ask for nothing more and deserve nothing less.
Menendez and his wife are scheduled to be arraigned in Manhattan on Wednesday morning. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
A lot of schools talk about training the cybersecurity workforce of the future, but do they really deliver? My Computer Career has been supplying the IT workforce with thousands of skilled, certified pros for 15 years. Train with the experts in support, networking, or cybersecurity and start your career in months, not years. Upskill even faster. On campus or live online, qualified students may get financial aid, including the GI Bill. My Computer Career. Accredited, acclaimed, effective. Take the free career evaluation at mycomputercareer.edu.
Exergen thermometers are the smart choice when selecting a thermometer. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Got a fever? Stay home. To detect fever accurately at home, you need a clinically accurate, fast, and non-invasive thermometer. The Exergen thermometer is backed by over 100 clinical studies. Accuracy matters. Be smart and safe. Measure accurately with Exergen thermometers. Available at Walgreens and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only 1 in 3 Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows level off around 58 tonight under overcast skies with scattered thunderstorms likely. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs level off around 66. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 58. Cloudy skies expected.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 64.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, a video caught my attention the other day that, you know, every father, it's literally every father's nightmare. To have their young daughter raped and impregnated by some dirtbag, and then to have our current law say, you know what, sorry, your 10 or 11 or 12 year old daughter, yeah, this horrible thing happened, this tragedy happened, but you know, she's gonna have to carry it to term. Sorry, that's just the law. There's nothing we can do. And you know, as a father, I watched this video and it made me very angry, as I think every father. Well, I think it should. And here to share some thoughts on the video, I've asked Joe Jacobson to come talk with us. Joe is the founder of Progress Action Fund. They're the folks behind this video, which we'll get out on social media. Also under the hashtag of MAGA is watching you. And look, you know, when these folks get their eye, remember, they want smaller, less intrusive government, except in your bedroom. Joe, thanks for taking time for us.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
So this video has made the rounds. It's gone viral. It's gotten lots of attention, as it should. Tell me why. Why'd you make it?
Well, we think Republicans are extreme, and you know, it needs to be called out. That's the first and foremost thing. But also, most political ads are kind of boring and pretty similar, as I'm sure you know. And based on our last ad we did, the Keep Republicans Out of Your Bedroom one, that went viral first, is on CNN, MSNBC, hell, even Fox News picked it up. We had a Republican congressman literally invade somebody's bedroom while they were trying to, you know, be intimate and get a condom, saying they banned birth control. So we thought we needed to make this ad, not only because reproductive rights is important, but also because, you know, I feel Democrats aren't communicating in a way that resonates with voters as much as it could be. And there's nothing quite like a congressman entering your bedroom or a congressman entering the doctor's office telling your daughter and your family what you can and cannot do.
Now, what's interesting to me is I shared that video with some of my red hat wearing acquaintances, and they all told me that that's not how it is, that, you know, that would never happen in this country. It could never happen. That's not what they're fighting for. Is it what they're fighting for?
I mean, I think Republican politicians are out of touch with the voters. And I'm glad to hear that your, you know, MAGA hat wearing friends are saying that. But I think we need to be looking at what the people who they're voting for are for. You know, you have people in Pennsylvania like Doug Mastriano, who ran for governor, who wants no exceptions for rape, incest, or life of the mother. You know, Dr. Oz, his famous quote from last cycle in Pennsylvania was, these decisions should be between, you know, a family, a doctor, and the local politician. And then you have Carolyn Carluccio. You know, we're running this ad for the upcoming Supreme Court race. And Carluccio, who is the Republican nominee, she is very pro-life. She even funds pro-life causes with her nonprofit. You know, that's her position as far as I'm concerned. So these Republican voters, you know, they, I think, would need to be reached out to by folks like us, because the politicians they're voting for just really don't have the same values that they do.
Do you see this as an opportunity to maybe educate some of the less ardent red hats, some of the more, maybe if there are any moderate Republicans, you know, people, you know, like me, who've got teenage daughters, who you go, you know, I don't want someone in that room making a decision, taking a choice away from her. Do you think, see this as an education opportunity, or is this just to rally the base?
Well, I really think it's both. I think you can do both because this ad, you know, it's gone viral. It's had over 8 million views on Twitter in less than a week, which we're very excited about. So it's definitely a rallying cry for Democrats. We need to stand up for our values. But at the same time, you know, this is something Republican voters agree. You know, you mentioned your MAGA hat friends again. And, you know, they do not want this. So I really think it's a good education opportunity. But also, you know, this type of ads that we create, I think, you know, can be for persuasion, not just in Pennsylvania, but also in Ohio. You know, we really had strong victories in the August elections when we ran our Keep Republicans Out of Your Bedroom ad. And we saw 15 counties that voted for Trump in 2020 voted no, meaning that they wanted to protect reproductive rights back in August. So I think this is a great persuasion, turnout, and education opportunity.
No, and I agree with you, especially in a state like Pennsylvania, where we are very close. Then you know the turnout can be very close at times. This is one of those issues that make maybe get people thinking a little differently. Because look, you know, I know some Republicans who are like, look, I believe in, you know, being a little bit more conservative on fiscal issues, fairly a little bit socially liberal-ish, not, you know, too far, but this is one of those moving things where, you know, when I was talking to a friend, I said, look, you know, what happens if something happens to your daughter, even if it's not rape or incest, even if, you know, she's 15 and something happens, do you want to force that that life choice on her? And he's like, no. And I said, then this is the issue you vote on.
Right. Yeah, I kind of agree with you more. I think, you know, as Democrats, we need to have this be our central campaign message. You know, voters go to the polls. They have a bunch of considerations. But, you know, we need to make this the key consideration. And that's what happened in 2022. And that's what's happened so far this year. Yeah. So I think Democrats, you know, we need to be running on this. We need to be hitting, you know, Republicans on this consistently, starting now, you know, 2023 and then to the elections, because this is what voters believe. Voters, you know, Republicans as well. It's like 2/3 of Americans believe in making Roe v. Wade law of the land again. So we need to run on this message. We need to win. And then we need to keep our promise and make Roe v. Wade law of the land, because Republicans don't want that. That's out of touch with what the voters want. Democrats, like our organization, the candidates, they want Roe v. Wade to be the law of the land again.
Now, the bigger issue here for me, you know, now this is a big issue, especially your ad. The bigger issue for me here, Joe, is the fact that Republicans have taken that freedom angle. They've said they're the party of freedom. This is a freedom issue. You know, things people do in their bedroom, a freedom issue, who you love and who you spend your life with, a freedom issue. You know, down the line, you know, Democrats don't do enough of talking about the big picture. We focus on the details, and we focus on, you know, on telling you these big, long worded stories. This is really, really about freedom and individual liberty.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have, you know, Democrat politicians really trying to embrace the freedom angle, you know, people like Gavin Newsom, people like President Biden. I really think it's important, you know, Governor Shapiro, Bob Casey, you know, people like that really trying to hammer that message. And I think more Democrats could learn from things like that. As far as I'm concerned, this is the key message going into 2024, but it's also the privacy angle as well. You know, they do not want, or voters do not want, politicians of any party, but in this case, it's Republicans, because they are very out of touch with voters, invading their personal lives. You mentioned marriage, for example. You know, we're going to be producing sequels to our, you know, Keep Republicans Out of Your Bedroom, you know, Stop Republicans from Watching Your Daughter. One place we do not want a Republican congressman who's very extreme, you know, Scott Perry or anybody, for example, in Pennsylvania, would be at a same-sex wedding. You know, we should not be telling people who they can and cannot marry. But then you had a majority of the Republican congressional delegation across the country, you know, vote against, you know, making same-sex marriage and codifying it into law of the land. So as far as I'm concerned, we need to be highlighting these freedom issues, because that's what voters really do care about.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting that you bring up my congressman, Scott, pardon me, don't look at my cell phone, Perry, because he is one of the more extreme. In fact, he's one of the people driving the potential government shutdown, which is why I'm hopeful that the good people of Pennsylvania or of the 10th district where I'm at look at Eugene DePasquale, who has been a good public servant here in Pennsylvania for a very long time. So the hope is that we send Perry back where he belongs, just aside from our conversation, because ultimately we've got to get rid of some of the crazy in Congress because things clearly not getting done.
Yeah, absolutely. I think democracy, you know, and these abortion rights issues, you know, you have this gerrymandering going on in Wisconsin. You have it going on in so many different states. And Scott Perry, you know, very involved in January 6th. And all these issues are related. You know, the American people are very clear that they want reproductive freedom and they don't want Republican politicians invading their bedrooms, invading their personal lives, invading their doctor's offices, telling them what they can and cannot do. But, you know, if Republicans have gerrymandered things so badly and are trying to overthrow our democracy, then it doesn't really matter what voters want because it won't be a democracy. So I think we need to walk and chew gum at the same time and be on that message as far as the Democratic Party goes.
No, I'm right there with you. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're here with Joe Jacobson. He's the founder of Progress Action Fund. You can check out their website, progressactionfund.com. We'll get links out on social media, how you can take a look at that. Also see the videos that we've been talking about. And look, I'd love to hear what you've got to say on that. Now, I got to get your thoughts on this most recent ABC Washington Post poll, where the blaring headline, Trump edges out Biden 51-42 in head-to-head matchup. 51-42 is not edging out. I don't know who wrote that idiotic headline. But are you concerned that what we're talking about, what you're pushing out, isn't resonating with folks when they're looking at that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, those numbers are definitely not where we would want them to be. However, I would say that, you know, it's still very early and that we shouldn't just look at one poll. You know, the aggregate polls, there's a bunch that have been very close. So I think let's wait for more data to come in before we start sounding the red alarm. I think a big factor for Democrats was back in 2022 or in 2022 was that you had voters who didn't approve of the president. An independence break for the president, despite not approving of him. And that's because Republicans are so extreme. I think President Biden has a great record, you know, whether that's infrastructure, whether that's climate change, whether that's jobs or healthcare. You know, I think he has a great record, and I think they need to start spending a whole bunch of money to make sure voters know just how great his record is. As far as our organization goes, I'm not concerned because Republicans are just so extreme that, you know, maybe somebody doesn't love the president. But at the same time, they're never going to vote for somebody like, you know, Doug Mastriano or Marjorie Taylor Greene, who are now the quintessential Republican. They're not even extreme for a Republican anymore. And I think Biden's quote is pretty on point. You know, don't compare me to the almighty, compare me to the alternative. And certainly Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, and all these, you know, extremist MAGA Republicans. I'm not worried about the poll because voters are going to see what's going on coming up next year for sure.
My problem with all these polls is they're all BS. I think you can rig them all to say whatever you want to keep a horse race going so you get people continually clicking through to make money and make this a horse race. I don't know what the ultimate end point's going to be. I can guarantee one thing. It is not going to be 51-42.
No, there's no way. I mean, last cycle, you know, polls on aggregate, from my understanding, weren't terrible. But then you go into some of these races, you know, New Mexico's second or Ohio's first. And just the polling there was just so variable. You know, you have a lot of different entities and organizations and media outlets, you know, used to be conducting a lot more polls, but they just kind of stopped doing the abundance that they used to. So now it's just so hard to tell. So I think, you know, when you have one or two polls, it's kind of just like, you know, throwing you know what at the wall and hoping it stands out. So I think we'll know much more next year, but
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
We're talking about, you know, you can kind of cherry pick the data to make the case that you want.
Yeah. The website, progressactionfund.com. Take a look at it. We'll get links out on social media. Joe Jacobson, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Good video. I'm looking forward to the next one. Keep up the great work. I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you, Rick. Really appreciate you.
Thanks so much, Joe. Appreciate it. Again, progressactionfund.org.com, the website. We'll get links out on social media. Gonna take a quick break. Right back with your thoughts. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So evidently, some of the Republicans in Tennessee are, they're putting together a study group. they're putting together their group to say, you know what, we're going to not take any federal money for education. In fact, they're looking at turning down, what was it, some $1.9 billion in federal education funding. And they're figuring out, well, what would happen if we got all that? You know, we could cut all that science and art and music and math, and we cut all that stuff. We just do history, you know, good Republican. Prager University, Hillsdale College history. That's what we could give the kids. Good brainwashing propaganda. And it's cheap. Now, me personally, I say, being from Pennsylvania, we could always increase funding. If they don't want the $1.9 billion, I know Pennsylvania would be happy to take it. Could help with education funding, especially in poverty-ridden areas, could give us a leg up in the competition to educate the future, get better jobs, all of that stuff. But it got me to thinking. It got me to thinking, what would they cut? How much could be gutted from education? And then I came across this story from Donovan Elementary School of the Lebanon City School District in Ohio, who evidently, last Friday they thought it'd be a great idea to have Ice Cream Friday. And who in their right mind would be against Ice Cream Friday at whatever age? But these are third and fourth graders who, clearly looking forward to ice cream on Friday. And as a kid going, oh my God, ice cream on Friday. That's going to be great. I can't wait for it. All your friends talking about, we're going to have ice cream on Friday. It's going to be fabulous. Can't wait. And then the Donovan Elementary School puts out on social media this gem of a post. Tomorrow is the highly anticipated first Ice Cream Friday. We wanted to send out a few reminders to hopefully make the day go smoothly for everyone. A student, here's the kicker, here it comes. You ready for it? A student must have money on their account to purchase ice cream. If a student has a negative balance, they will not be able to purchase ice cream, even if they bring their $1 for ice cream. Students are only allowed to purchase one ice cream and are not permitted to buy ice cream for a friend. We have to have a great first Ice Cream Friday. Really? This? Now, this story has, from the media perspective, a happy ending. Because that's how I found this. Oh, this is such a good feel-good story. Oh, this is wonderful. Some people in the community saw the post and reached out to the school and paid, for all of the back debt, the debtor children, those third and fourth grader debtors. and gave, an extra $5,000 so that kids would be able to have a little bit in the future so that they wouldn't go far into debt. Such a good feel-good story. And look, completely the wrong message. Good on the people for doing it, because I'll be honest with you. When I read the post, I'm going, you know, how much could it possibly cost to ensure that all kids got the ice cream? How about if I just buy the ice cream and say, give it out? Ice Cream Friday is a giveaway thing. Now, good on the people who step forward. You know, give them credit. Good citizens. Love people like that. But the message is that we need good Samaritans to come in to save the day. Otherwise, children are going to be used as pawns in this. Imagine being a third grader. I mean, this is, and I've got some experience with this, but imagine being a third, fourth grader and being in debt. I mean, you go, wow, how is that? Well, we're teaching kids about the economy, especially poor ones, that your life is going to be a lifetime of debt, that a lifetime of struggle, a lifetime of being denied things because of the station in life that you were born into, because of the fact that you don't have enough money in your pocket to be able to buy ice cream on Friday, even if you can come up with the dollar, because they're going to hold it against you that you didn't have the dollar, sorry. And we know what this was. This was a way to get people, parents, to cough up the money. Okay, well, the kids are behind. We don't want the kids to be left out. We don't want them to feel bad. Every parent thinks this way, rich or poor. But what about the parents who can't? And I think back to my mother. We didn't have money for things like this. The school used to have a carnival in the gym. You know, a nickel to play a game. We didn't have it. I had friends who would take me around and let me play for them because I was one heck of a pitcher. And I won people all kinds of stuff. Not for me, but for them. So I did get to play. This takes that away. Sorry. Even if you got a friend who's got the extra buck, sorry. We're not going to let the friend do it. We're not going to let your friend be a good friend. Think about all of the messaging that comes out of this. Now, the school, after it became apparent that this was a terrible idea and that everyone was ticked off about it, they tried to say, no, this is how it's done. You know, this has been our policy. You know, ice cream's an a la carte thing. You know, it's something you can buy, you know, not from the regular meal, that we don't turn kids away from the regular meal. You just can't buy the extra stuff. But this isn't that. This isn't the kid deciding one day, hey, I want ice cream. This is the school district going, hey, it's Friday. Ice cream on Friday for everybody. Except you, and you. And this is my problem with where we are as a society. I'm telling you, you did this to my kid, I'd be fit to be tied. Only because I remember what it was like. I remember the humiliation. Why do we shame and humiliate kids? Because their parents don't have the resources. And I know, I can hear people go, you know, it's only a couple of bucks. No, school lunches are not cheap. Every day, $3-4 every day. And if you're making minimum wage, if you're making $10 an hour, I'm sorry, but $3 a day, $15 a week, $60 a month, that's a lot of money for a low-income family. And it's easy to fall behind. And then that number builds. And then the harassment starts. My daughter's too lazy to take money in every once in a while. So on Sunday, we get the call. Your daughter is delinquent seven cents. Your daughter is delinquent a dollar.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hello?
Man, where are you? This wedding is lit. I thought you were coming.
Ooh, I can't.
I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? You didn't get a flu shot?
I wish I did. I can't believe I'm missing out on Greg's wedding.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf.
Grandma's about to what? What?
Man, I'll call you back.
Oh, man.
Sounds like another case of flu FOMO. Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. It keeps you protected and also protects your loved ones. Protecting our community can't wait. So why get stuck inside with the flu? Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an Earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. Planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress? Unfortunately, you promised the climate you'd buy more vintage. Chauffeuring teens? Yeah, the Earth really needs them to hoof it. That's right, the environment is always the best excuse. So go ahead, ask your bae to dim all the lights because carbon emissions. Tell your dad-bodded dad to eat more plants, for the planet, obviously. Kindly tell the kids to stop asking for a new phone. I mean, e-waste, right? Find your out and opt in to cutting carbon. Just visit theenvironmentexcuse.org. A public service announcement brought to you by WildAid.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 58 tonight under overcast skies with scattered thunderstorms likely. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs level off around 66. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 58. Cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 64.
This is Jim Hightower saying, so go. The thieving won't stop until the people stop the thieves. Boom, boom, boom. Ship the whole herd of thundering thieves out of town, including Bennett and that pusillanimous mayor.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, going back in the way, way back machine, today in Trump, the year was 2019, and it's the day that the transcript for the perfect phone call was released. Yeah, you remember the perfect phone call, the one said, hey, give me some dirt on Biden. Which, interestingly enough, you know, fast forward to, you know, 4 years, and we are now opening an impeachment inquiry into, well, the perfect phone calls beg for anything, information on anything, just whatever we can find. Yeah, big fun. Big fun. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day, the impending government shutdown, maybe a little bit on Bob Menendez refusing to step down. I've asked our good friend, former Ohio congressman and political analyst, Bob Ney, to come share some thoughts. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So today was the day of the release of the transcript of the perfect phone call. Do you remember where you were when the transcripts were unfurled?
Yes. I remember exactly. I was in Belair, Ohio. I remember exactly where I was.
There you go. And thoughts?
Yes.
Thoughts on the perfect phone call transcript?
Well, it's kind of interesting because this is weird. I just was thinking about this. Okay, we had the perfect phone call to Trump. Trump wanted dirt. Now that you're right, the Congress is looking into the Hunter Biden Ukraine thing. Zelensky's still there, but the difference is now we're involved with a war, funding a war. Kind of been like the Ukraine thing, huh?
Yeah. No, I had someone tell me today it's Ukraine's fault that we're gonna have a government shutdown. It's not that the Kook caucus is, you know, trying to get their pound of flesh. It's all about Ukraine.
Well, they'll stretch that. It's not about Ukraine, it's about abortion and Senator Tuberville. If it's not about that, it's about shutting down the education department. If it's not about that, and on and on and on, because they're trying to decide every philosophical moment in budget bills.
Any tomorrow the speaker and the House is coming back into session. Any predictions? You're usually a good crystal ball into what the fun and entertainment's going to be. What are you expecting over the next couple of days as we tick down to the end of the month?
Well, this one's strange because, you know, Speaker McCarthy gave away everything to become Speaker when he did the motion to vacate Matt Gaetz.
Yep.
Blackmails him with that and et cetera, et cetera. McCarthy doesn't want to shut down. McConnell doesn't want to shut down, either one of them. But here's the twist to it. What McCarthy didn't do was the 11 appropriation bills, which he said he would do. Now, catch 22, he couldn't do the 11 appropriation bills because nothing's correct with about 12 of the 20 Freedom Caucus people. So he was stuck there. Although McCarthy should have just said, okay, too bad, here's what we're doing, vote up or down on the 11 bills. I'm suspicioning, this is a suspicion here, he's going to get some kind of short-term, two-week deal promising something. Not to Gaetz, because no matter what he does with Gaetz, it doesn't work, but promising something to some of the Freedom Caucus members or promising to continue to try to do the 11 appropriation bills, which is a legitimate complaint for some of the members. I think that's the direction it may go.
Yeah, but I'm looking at
now,
McCarthy.
The only thing
go ahead.
The only thing that could change that would be wonderful for the system, and I know for a fact this is being done, for a fact, is the private reach out between Republicans and Democrats coming together. Now, because the Republicans control the chamber, and it was this way when I was there, Rick, the Democrats, rightfully and wisely so, are going to say, okay, if you want to do a deal, you've got to provide the majority of the votes. So if you need 217 votes, let's say that the Republicans have to provide 180, and then the Democrats provide 38 votes. That deal could happen if they come to a compromise on, you know, something agreeable to continue the budget, let's say past Christmas, probably. That kind of deal bipartisanly could occur, which would probably be healthy for the system.
No, this is where I was going to go. This is where I was going to say, in any functional democracy with any leader, you know, you don't even have to be a profile encouraged leader. You just have to be someone who's, you know, moderately functional, you know, go and do this stuff and make those 15, 20, whatever you need, make them irrelevant. And then use your power to try and get them out. That's how a functional system would work.
Exactly. Plus, at some point in time, McCarthy has to realize this trajectory path he is on leads to nowhere. It leads to John Boehner. Just bring up the past. Remember, John was going to be thrown out on a rail there. It leads to John Boehner. I stood there and watched Newt in private caucuses say, it's a democracy. We're going to have a vote. If you don't like me, remove me. I'll leave. You know, at some point in time, you have to stand up and say those things that you're not afraid. And if McCarthy doesn't do that, eventually he will be whittled down to the point where there will be a motion to vacate. Now, AOC the other day made an interesting statement, and that is, you know, McCarthy hasn't done much. Maybe they would support the motion to vacate. Well, either way, the Democrats could support it or not support it. Either way, it doesn't help McCarthy, no matter what's going down. So if I were McCarthy, I would just make some kind of, you know, temporary deal, which he'll probably do, continue to try to do the appropriation bills and then throw them out amongst the general population. But in order to do that, for him to bypass the 12 problems, he has to have support from the Democrat side, period.
But that means you don't get to cut Social Security. That means you don't get to cut Medicare. That means you don't get to do some of the really ugly things that the Kook caucus wants.
Sure. And here's where he can benefit, too. McCarthy can say, look, we're not going to cut Social Security. We're not going to cut Medicare. We will bipartisanly and with the interest groups, AARP, et cetera, we will look at how to firm Medicare and Social Security up. We'll look at it together. Great. Stops the controversy. They actually technically do look at, Lord forbid, public policy considerations, you know, to make sure it's around. I mean, there's a lot of great things it could do that no matter how much, I keep saying the 12 because it's not 20 anymore, but no matter how much the 12 complain, McCarthy would be, you know, in good position.
Yeah.
Period. Now, that means, though, that you know, it's not down the line, we do everything with Republican votes. He can't do everything with Republican votes because he has people that want to be superstars like Matt Gaetz and run for governor, et cetera, that are going to stop every single thing he wants to do.
Oh, you didn't just say that. you didn't just say Matt Gaetz.
Oh, yeah.
For governor. Oh, God.
Well, isn't that one way to maybe get rid of him?
And make things worse? No, but here's the thing. No, actually, now that I'm starting to think about it, Florida man as the head of Florida? Yeah, sure. Why not? What the heck? You know, Florida's a giant show anyway.
So, you know?
All right. Well, there you go.
Maybe.
There you go. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show here with Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman, political analyst extraordinaire. I want to get your thoughts on this Menendez thing. He said that the envelopes that were full of cash, you know, the $480,000, you know, and the money had stashed all over the place, it was for emergencies. He said that now this may seem old-fashioned, but these were monies drawn from my personal savings account based on the income that I have lawfully derived over those 30 years. And it's, you know, it's just safety blanket. Now, I do love John Fetterman's tweet on this. He said, we've got an extra flashlight in our home for emergencies. Thought that was perfect.
Well, I mean, look, if Carol's car breaks down, don't you have to have 20K somewhere to take it to the local Pennsylvania, you know, mechanic?
If I had an EV right now, probably. But no, I don't have that kind of money laying around the house, Bob.
No, don't you need that to get the brake line fixed for an emergency? I mean, you know, Menendez, when he... If he just said, I'm going to fight this, I'm innocent, you know, you sit there, okay, there's a court system, doesn't look good. When he came up with this, and that he basically came from a Cuban family where you had to, you know, store this cash in case the government, you know, something happened with the government. Hey, I understand our government's a little shaky here and there, but, you know, not to the point where they're going to come in and take your money. So his answer was just basically obviously ridiculous. And he would have been better just to say, I'm going to fight this, you know, instead of trying. You don't You know, when you answer these things, been there, done it, you either answer them all, you don't specific, because he didn't answer Egypt, but he answered the cash.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Now, what I find amazing is that he would go here to the emergency angle, knowing that 44% of Americans can't afford a $1,000 emergency, and he could afford 480 of those.
Right. I mean, all the way around, this isn't looking good. Like I said, I've been in the jackpot seat. I was fortunate. I did not have, when the whole thing began with me, I did not have, including Nancy Pelosi, I did not have people saying, you need to leave now. I didn't have that happening. What has happened with Menendez, and this is what happened, you know, it's selective who is told to leave, and some people fight it, and, you know, some leave. This situation with him, let's face it, is really, really ugly.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where people are not going to give him a benefit of the doubt on it.
No, look, I said the last time we talked, he should just become a Republican, because they'd never ask him to resign. Now you've got Fetterman, who was the first person. Sherrod Brown came out, was the second, and also Peter Welch of Vermont, the third. I expect those calls to get, you know, louder and louder down the road. But he's defiantly saying, nope, not going to do it.
Yeah, this one's tough, because the government, when they charge him with bribery and don't try to do a broad brush charge, which, you know, I had the honest services fraud, which is now unconstitutional if you can't link bribery. They're linking bribery. Because if he says that came out of his account, right there, number one, where's the track record? If it did, he will have withdrawals. If he doesn't have withdrawals on record, guess what? That's problem number one.
But, Bob, he was just saving change, man. You know, the Big Mac cost $5.50, that extra 50 cents in the pot.
You know, me, you, and if we both picked 10 friends on that we each know, we couldn't save that kind of cash in 35 years, you know?
This is true. I got to get your thoughts on Donald Trump's truth that he put out. He said, Mark Milley, who led perhaps the most embarrassing moment in American history, with his grossly incompetent implementation of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, costing many lives, leaving behind hundreds of American citizens, and handing over billions of dollars of the finest military equipment ever made. We'll be leaving the military next week. This will be a time for all citizens of the U.S. to celebrate. This guy turned out to be a woke train wreck who, if the fake news reporting is correct, was actually dealing with China to give them a heads up on the thinking of the President of the United States. This is an act of so egregious that in times gone by, the punishment would have been death. A war between China and the United States could have been the result of this treasonous act, to be continued. Is he suggesting putting his old general to death, you know, kind of North Korea style? Is that what we're getting?
What? It's interesting. Gosar from Arizona, Congressman Gosar, he ended up making statements that made Trump look okay, if that's possible. I mean,
serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
This logic doesn't make sense because of the fact that what the general did was to basically say to China, with the upheaval and all the rumors that were running around, he simply wanted to de-escalate any situation. And his message was very easy in his own quote: stay calm, stay steady, de-escalate, we're not going to attack you. That's not an act of treason. That's an act of trying to stop the rumors, because you know what was going on with information back and forth, rumors that, you know, that Trump was going to do anything humanly possible. And even though this wasn't a China-U.S. issue, things escalate to the point where everybody gets nervous. So that's all that the general did. We were at war with China. He wasn't giving them information or doing something he shouldn't. But, this death thing, where do they come up with this stuff at?
Well, no, look, you know, my son has a friend who, you know, he's all pro death penalty. All these people, we should be putting them all to death. And it's, you know, that's an undercurrent of what we are hearing from the Red Hat crowd. This, you know, if you're with us, you're against us. And if you, now, if you're against us, we gotta take you out.
I love how Trump says all of these people, all of them are idiots. And these are all the people he appointed. I mean, I love it.
No, they're the very best people, the very best idiots, though.
They were the very best, the best you could find on planet Earth, the most perfect phone calls, the most perfect people, and now they're the most all perfect idiots.
And speaking of perfect idiot, Ron DeSantis back in the news. Evidently, Sean Hannity is going to moderate a debate between Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom. Why?
Well, the speculation. Well, first of all, if I were Hannity, I would, because I didn't even know DeSantis was still in the race.
I didn't know he was ever in it.
Yeah, I follow the news. You know, if I were Hannity, I would moderate between Gavin Newsom and Nikki Haley, is what I would do.
Yes.
Honestly, if I'm going to do that kind of, you know, cheeky thing there, you know, cutesy thing, I would do it between Haley and Newsom. Really excite both sides, you know.
Yeah, but you're
with
not going to get
Newsom. You're
DeSantis
not going to get could
Haley,
not beat
the two DeSantis and Haley. DeSantis would never do it. She would mop the floor with him.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that Newsom and Haley would be great.
No, you know? I agree.
Oh,
Newsom and Haley.
I mean, DeSantis is done.
Okay. Yeah. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
I used to like Newsom until today, when he on Friday he vetoed AB 316. The automated truck bill. I'm very unhappy about that at the moment.
Why do you think he did that?
His claim is that there's already regulation in place to oversee the automated vehicles, the automated trucks. You know, I'm being told no, there's not. Originally, my thought was he vetoed it because it wasn't enough. It was a very watered down compromise bill. As it was, look, it, you know, it still allows automated vehicles on the road. It just says, hey, you got to have someone near at the controls for when it breaks down. Because if you look at what's going on with the taxis in San Francisco, not putting a lot of confidence out there as to these automated vehicles being able to run. So I'm a little miffed at it right now, but we'll see.
You add the word truck, it's automated truck terrifies me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't scare me, it terrifies me.
As it should. You know, as I said earlier, right. I went to a Guardians game over the weekend, and we're sitting in a stadium full of about 15,000, 18,000 people in the heart of downtown Cleveland, where you would think you'd get good cell phone reception. I got nothing. I could search nothing on the internet. I could text nothing. I could check no social media. Not that you want to, but I wanted to look up a couple of stats and stuff. Couldn't do it because there were too many people on the system. Now you're going to tell me rush hour traffic isn't going to put a lot of people on the system, and you're not going to have buffering and problems with 80,000-pound vehicles? It's a dumb thing. He should have signed it. And if someone gets killed because of it, it's on him. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
Right.
Finally, got to get your thought on the fact that a big majority, 65% of Americans, say that they want a popular presidential vote. Do we keep the current electoral system? Do we move to a popular vote, which almost two-thirds want? What do you think?
This is a tough one. I mean, I really went back and forth on this when I was in Congress about, you know, the popular vote, yet the Electoral College was designed, well, for what the Electoral College was designed for, it doesn't count anymore, okay? Because it was designed for the wee tiny ones to make a difference. Now it's going to make a difference Electoral College-wise, depends on which state. You know, yeah. 2016 was, you know, Pennsylvania, Ohio, our states, Michigan, Wisconsin. The original decision was so little states would have a lot of power to enter the union. So I'm tending to go towards, I guess, if I had to, a popular vote. I just don't think that the Electoral College will be done away with. We're always going to have this system where you've got to count the popular vote, and you've got to target states.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is the more you have the popular vote losing the election, the more you have a president who doesn't have the majority of people on his side, I think the worse that gets. And I don't think we're there yet, but I think we're getting there.
One day we will, because you could have an overwhelming popular vote. I mean, really overwhelming. And yet the electoral system depends on the state where they come in at, you know, and where the overwhelming vote is. The overwhelming vote could be in one state, which then you only get so many electoral votes, no matter if you take 90% of the vote in that state or not, you know. So, yes, it's not ripe yet. At some point in time, it will be. But, yeah, I went back and forth on it, but we've been ingrained with this idea of electoral college. But, again, electoral college doesn't function today as it was intended to function back then, which was the power of the littlest states.
Yeah, I'm also in favor of, you know, doing something with the Senate. I'm sorry that Montana and Wyoming shouldn't have the same power as California and Pennsylvania.
Well, the Senate just saying me, because I've heard it from, you know, McConnell, we've heard it from Dole, we've heard it from Schumer, you know, whoever you want. You know, the nuclear option. While you brave souls, you're daring to go to actual majority instead of 60. Wow. Aren't they courageous?
They are.
It amazes me.
They're right there. When it suits them, they're courageous.
Right. Right. Well, maybe if more of them wear shorts, they'll get a little bit brazen. What do you think?
There you go. Bob, I appreciate the time as always.
Thank you. Great stuff,
my friend.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks so much, our good friend Bob Nane. I mean, at some point, I think we're going to hit that. What, Trump lost by 7 million votes. And I know, I've got friends who, no, they were stuffing ballots with old people. You know, they were getting old people to vote. And, you know, people were dropping off 10 ballots, you know, for them and their 9 friends, which, you know, is not right. It's not legal in a lot of states, which is a dumb rule, I think. I got to be honest. Because even if when they dropped off 10 or 15 of them, they still were legitimate ballots, still somebody's name on it, still someone married up to the registration, but no, can't have that. Cannot have that. Finally, this evening, for some reason, in the last week, I have talked about Taylor Swift more than I have talked about Taylor Swift in my entire life. I have said the words Taylor Swift back to back more than I have said those words back to back in my entire lifetime. But I got to tell you, I like her actions. And, you know, here's the thing. The right is going after her in a huge way, attacking her. And Sunday was the big attack. And why, you may ask? Why? Poor Taylor Swift, wholesome young woman, good musician, you know, popular with a lot of the people who like her music, all that. Well, you know, they're mad because she went to a football game to watch her boyfriend, and she promoted voter registration. I know, cardinal sins, but that's what they're ticked off about. This Clay Travis guy tweeted out Travis Kelce, who is Taylor Swift's boyfriend, I guess. It says, is doing Bud Light and COVID shot commercials. He needs to fire all his marketing agents, or he just needs to go ahead and cut off his, he uses the D word, become a chick and endorse Joe Biden. And then the following comments after, you know, calling him a simp, this Travis Kelce, you know, calling him, you know, all kinds of, you know, beta, all kinds of stuff. And my challenge in this, from Clay Travis on down, walk up, get out from behind your screen, get out from behind the security of your basements, and go say any of those things to Travis Kelce, who I despise, by the way, because he plays for the Kansas City Chiefs, but he's a heck of a football player and someone I would not want to cross with. So go say those nice things.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local. I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.